Guys, we're going to get started now tonight. We've been talking about maturity lately. It's a topic that's been on my heart a lot because I feel like we don't talk about it really enough. I think it's sort of assumed that we're all trying to become more mature as Christians. But instead of having a set like series on the topic of maturity, just been sort of letting the Lord speak to me about it and bringing to you guys what He's speaking to me about when it comes to these things. Of course, one of the things that I think about a lot is my kids, trying to raise them well. It's a marathon more than a sprint when it comes to raising kids because you can't get them all squared away in one moment. I think in much the same way, as believers, when we come to Christ, there's a lot of things that we can learn right away. But the deeper application of these things takes a lot of time, and so it's not quite as direct. Didn't have any questions necessarily prepared, so I'm just going to jump right in, and we're going to probably keep it short tonight as far as what I'm going to share. But in Galatians chapter 6, it says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." I'm going to open up a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Lord, as we consider your word tonight, each one of us is probably in a slightly different place on our path in following you. And Lord, we know that the journey that we're on in serving you and growing to love you and know you is so important. It's so crucial. And I thank you that you've promised to never leave us or forsake us while we're on this journey. Tonight, as we consider this short passage from Galatians, I pray that we would be challenged to continue in our path, that we would allow you to have your full way with us, that we would not hold anything back, that we would allow you to complete the work you've begun in us. Speak to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, the thing that, I'm going to just jump right into the thing that I really felt like God wanted me to speak to you guys about. There's just a lot more here too, so we'll continue in those ideas as well. What I felt like, as a result of the last time we spoke, there's a requirement for us to grow in the Lord because there's a responsibility that we each have to bear our own load. And in the beginning of this passage in chapter 2, it says, "Bear one another's burdens." And I think as young Christians, we get very accustomed to people bearing our burdens for us. We come to church when we're overwhelmed or we're maybe caught up in temptation or sin, and we come and we unload, we unburden ourselves by talking to someone about our issues or what we're going through. But then in verse 5 it says, "For each one shall bear his own load." Now in the Greek, I think there's a different word for burden and load, and I'm not going to get into all that necessarily, but I really felt like the Lord dropped this into my spirit regarding tonight, because I think there's this tension that we live in as Christians where we're supposed to be strong. We're supposed to strengthen and build ourselves up. It says that in Jude 20. Build yourselves up in the Holy Spirit, in our most holy faith and praying the Holy Spirit. It says building ourselves up to be strong, to be able to help others, to be a resource for other people. But then it also talks about bearing one another's burdens. And so there's like this community aspect that we can't always be strong all the time. And I think it's important that we understand that this is a passage where it talks about this, that we're growing towards strength, but we aren't always going to be strong. That we should be developing our spirituality, developing our walk with the Lord so that we have something to offer other people, but there'll come times in our lives where we're not feeling so strong, we're not there. And I found that in my life, if I walk around like I've got all the right answers, if I think of myself like more highly than I ought to, and think, well, I've already arrived, I've been serving the Lord for 5 years now, or 10 years now, and I've got that issue figured out, it's not too long before I find myself struggling or falling falling flat on my face saying, oh, I thought I had that all wrapped up. And it's, I think, God's way of opening my eyes that, hey, you may have come a long way, but you haven't arrived completely yet. So there's like this tension that we live with where we're not yet there, but we are arriving. We are getting there. And if we've come a long way, and everything that we've gotten to in our lives up till now, we offer other people. We're commanded, or we're instructed to restore, as it says here, to build somebody else up. But then there's a requirement for us on our day-to-day walk with the Lord that we would walk with the Lord, that we would build ourselves up so that we can be strengthened. But how does that all work out in a practical life? I think that a lot of it comes down to just walking in the Spirit, like living our lives in a way that we're constantly aware of God, constantly aware of what He's speaking to us. John was just telling me about something God talked to him about, how God's giving him some instruction about his life and the choices that he's making. And if we're listening to God, He does instruct us in these things. He says, hey, you know, how you just reacted right there, that wasn't me. That wasn't what your best. You're better than this. I want you to grow out of this. This is something that's very immature. And I found that over the years, as I've allowed the Lord to work in me, it's not that I've perfected. Even Paul said that. Not that I'm already being perfect, but I press on. I press on to reach the goal to which I've been called to Christ, heavenward. I know that ultimately my goal is heaven. And if I am cooperating with God to make something out of me that is worthy of heaven, so to speak, then I have to recognize that it's a process and that it's not necessarily immediate, but that I need God. A couple thoughts that I've been kind of coming back to, it's two things. One is mindfulness, and the other one is leaning into God. Our mindfulness, it's kind of a catchphrase in today's business world. I don't know if some of you guys are familiar with that, being mindful. Some of you guys are shaking your heads like, you know what I'm talking about. It's this new kind of philosophy of just being in the moment. It's kind of existential and just like, hey, just be and, you know, experience that coffee or experience whatever's going on and just be there with the coffee or whatever. But that idea isn't necessarily, you know, when I was studying to be a teacher, one of the thoughts that was thrown out to me is that all truth is God's truth. If something is true, then it has some connection to God because God is all truth. And so sometimes we pervert it or twist it for our own uses, but the idea of being mindful, being present, being aware of what's going on, the choices that we're making, our values, even how we fall into sin, the small things, the small decisions that we make to lead us towards sin, being mindful of those things goes a long way to being present with the Lord. Being mindful of Him at all times and of ourselves and how we push Him away and how we throw up walls. I think that's huge. The other thing is that leaning into God. There's a song that we sing, talks about our heart leans in. You know, I really think that that's something else that we have to be mindful of, is that if our heart is in something, we're leaning into it. We're relying on God for the strength that we need. And so, coming back to this whole idea of spiritual maturity, there is something that's very, very important about our growth. There is a way in which we glorify God through maturity that we can't glorify God through immaturity. And I think in the natural, a good way of describing this is that an infant is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. But somebody who is 90 years old and has such a sweet spirit, think of like someone like Doris Bendel. You sit and talk to someone like her, and she has such a sweet spirit about her. And yes, she's not 90, but I mean, she's older. And that concept of just, she brings glory to God in a completely different way than an infant. And with an infant, it's like there's so much potential. But then when you look at someone who's lived their life well, and they still have such a great outlook, and they're still blessing people, and they're still useful, like all those things together, it's such a powerful, powerful thing. And I think that in this situation, he's saying, if there's somebody who's taken over by sin, you, as more mature Christians, it's your responsibility to restore them, to go to them, and to build them up, to bring them back into the fold, and to be mindful of yourself, lest you fall. Because it's not by your own greatness that keeps you from sin, it's by the grace of God, and being careful of yourself. And then it goes on to saying that examining what you're doing, not rejoicing in yourself in the sense that God is at work in you, not in a prideful way, but just understanding that, you know, God's brought me a long way, and this, see how far He's come. And not being so wrapped up in another, I think it's also important that we keep our eyes off of other people. And that's where it says, each one shall bear his own load. So it says, bear one another's burdens, but then also understand that you should be attempting to bear your own load. I like that it says that if you talk the word, you should share in all things with whom he teaches. In other words, just continuing to absorb it and get the fullness around it. Some of you guys may have seen earlier today, I posted on the Engage, the private page, this song. And it's not a really ridiculously incredible song necessarily. It's actually a very simple song. But it's by a woman who's a former Catholic. Maybe she's actually Catholic now. But she sings a song that it's really cool because she's talking to herself. And the lyrics of the song basically say, don't lie to yourself, oh my soul. Love the Lord. And the reality is that we can think that we're loving the Lord, but the commandment for us to love God with everything, don't lie to yourself. Like, look at yourself honestly, and are you loving the Lord? That's the greatest commandment. That's what he's calling us to do. And Pastor preached a message, I think, tied in really, really well with this. Because if we're loving the Lord, if he is our ultimate priority, the other things in our lives will fall into place. You know, that's why it's the most important. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is the greatest command. These are the greatest commandments. There's no other greater commandments. That if we do those things, the law of love is written on our hearts rather than on stone tablets, and we're trying to check off, oh, I did this today, I did this today. We live in freedom. And I think that it's just important that we understand, because I think this is a rebuke of sorts. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. We can't trick God. We can't fool him. Okay? If we are reaping, if we're sowing to things that are of our flesh, that's what we get back. You can't plant an apple tree and expect carrots to come up. Okay? The seeds that you're planting in your life, you're going to get back what you're planting. And so we need to be mindful of that. You need to be aware of the choices that we make. What are we sowing to? Because eventually it's going to bring forth fruit in our lives. It's huge. Verse 9 is an encouragement. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap, and do not lose heart. That encouragement is important because when we plant an apple seed and we're looking for apples to grow, if you know anything about agriculture, some seeds take longer to produce fruit than others. A tree will take longer to get to that place where it's bearing fruit. Whereas some things, you know, the fruit-producing season is very quick because it dies very quick. On the other hand, other things, like a tree that will produce year after year after year, takes a long time. It says, don't grow weary. If you continue to put the Lord to the test, so to speak, if you continue to do what's right, putting your trust that God's going to do what he said he's going to do, he says, that's where you'll find that glory, that growth. And I found that to be true in my own life, that you really have to do that. You can't circumvent the process of God. There are spiritual laws that are in place, and God's just saying, look, wait on me. You know, taste and see that the Lord is good, but wait on me and see what I'll do in due season. He is not our sugar daddy in the sky who, as soon as we pray a prayer, boom, it's there. Sometimes he's telling us to wait, or sometimes it's the fact that he doesn't answer the prayer, where he wants to open up our lives to things that are like, okay, this isn't going the way I expected it to. What's up with that? And we take that time with him and say, okay, God, I'm going to take you at your word that you have good things in store for me because you love me. But right now, this doesn't feel so good. So show me. Open my eyes. It's an openness to the Holy Spirit, an openness to God, that he would have his way with us. The reason why I'm trying to really flesh out this whole idea of maturity is because it's so important. There are so many people that are hurting, so many people that are so broken. You just spend a little bit of time with people that have no concept of God whatsoever. Their thinking is so absolutely off of what the Word of God talks about. They don't, why would they do anything different than that? Because that's what they've lived in all their lives. And for us to adequately respond to the hurts, to the brokenness of this world, for us to be Jesus to the brokenhearted, to bind up their wounds, we need to get our attention off of ourselves. But the reality is there's a season in our lives where maturity is necessary. And if you have jumped ahead of that, and you're like, oh, I'm going to go ahead and be a healer, I'm going to go out and heal people. Well, people that, you know, I wouldn't walk into a hospital and say, I'm here. Just call me Dr. Tuttle. I read a textbook once about something. Don't worry, I can handle this surgery. Let me give me a scalpel. I'll take care of this. That would be ridiculous. There's a training period where there's skills that need to be developed and just an understanding so that you know what to do when the situation comes up. And spiritually, it's like that. Seasons in our life where we have to mature so that we have something to offer. Some of you guys might recall a story that I will tell from time to time of a significant moment in my life where I had someone who's really close to me basically like asking me, what do I do, what do I do, what do I do? Well, I was 9 years old. I had no concept of being able to offer to this person anything. And I remember kept just telling him, Jesus, Jesus, I can't do anything but Jesus, go to Jesus. And I remember feeling helpless in that situation. And I remember that in my heart, I wished that I knew what to say. But it wasn't my time. It wasn't the right time to offer up wisdom. I didn't, and it wasn't the right situation, the right season in my life. But so many other times in my life where people have come to me, and in a quick moment of prayer, I'll ask God, you know, just give me words to speak to this person. And before I even know it, I realize that God's using me to speak something to that person's life that they needed to hear in that moment. And it's such a vastly different scenario in my life where God has just completely changed it around. But that didn't come overnight, where I just walked into Calvary Temple and said, all right, just call me Pastor Mark. You know, it was something where God was doing work in my life to grow me and mature me. Not that I've already attained, but I keep pressing on. I don't pretend that I've got it all together, and I keep myself humble, saying, I know that I can fall. I know that I'm not above my flesh getting the upper hand on me. I know that my own pride could lead me down a path that would be terrible. The maturity, though, gives me that wisdom and that pause, that slowing down and not being so quick to act, quick to speak, thinking I have all the answers. That comes with time. And so all of us should be endeavoring to grow more mature in our faith so that when others who desperately need an encounter with God, we are not instead giving them an encounter with us, where we're getting in the way of God flowing through us so that he can meet their need. But when we kind of get ahead of ourselves and kind of get big heads and say, oh, I got this, I figured this all out, we'll jump ahead and in the flesh begin telling somebody what they need to hear. And how many times have we seen that where someone says, oh, I need this, and somebody whose head is out in the stratosphere or whatever starts railing on them about something like, well, wait a minute, I just heard what they said, and what that person is saying in response, like, that doesn't match up. Like, they didn't really hear that person. And I guess I've seen that happen around to some of you guys, so I know that you know what I'm talking about. But that's what we need to avoid, that mature response, that we're giving people what they need more than what we think, you know, what our ideas about what they're. People come in, they're hurting. We might say, well, you need to get rid of this in your life, or do this in your life. Well, maybe eventually, but let's have Jesus get in there a little bit and let him begin to bring conviction and bring grace and bring healing and wholeness to their life, and then those things will get sorted out. We get ahead of it, and then we throw our works into our relationship with God and expect others to just toe the line. How effective are we at presenting a relationship with Jesus? How effective are we in demonstrating the grace of God to people that maybe aren't where they're supposed to be yet? So that's, I just want to, as I continue to seek the Lord about what to share and engage, I just want us to understand, as the young adults in our church, I want us to understand that there's a responsibility to take on the mantle of, you know, raising up other people. You know, God called us to fulfill the Great Commission. The Great Commission wasn't just to preach the gospel, and it wasn't just to baptize people. It was to make disciples. And in making disciples, what we're doing is we're teaching people how to follow Jesus, how to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in our lives so that he can use us to impact the world. And if we ourselves are not impacting the world, but we're just holding on until Jesus comes, we're not fulfilling the calling that we have as disciples to make more disciples. And so we need to mature in our faith. There's a point where I preached it a couple weeks ago, where it just comes down to it. The Holy Spirit said, grow up. Stop trying to do Christianity on your own. Confess your sin and understand that your sin is just going to lead to more sin. Turn away from your sin, repent, lean into God, be mindful of him at all times, and learn to love him even when you don't feel like it. That's the, I guess that's the last thing I want to just close with. You know, sometimes when we're in relationships, especially like as a parent or with my wife, relationships that I make commitments to, I don't always feel loving. Sometimes I'm tired or worn out or cranky, even with my kids. But the injunction to love, it's more about action and not as much about feeling, because feelings follow your actions. So if you behave in loving ways, sometimes your emotions will begin to do that, will follow that. It's a really powerful tool in any kind of relationship where in ministry, many times we're dealing with people that maybe we don't like so much in our flesh. They're not people that we would normally get along with easily. But God's saying, no, love them, because remember he said to Peter, if you love me, then feed my lambs, you know, feed my sheep. Take care of those that I love. That's how you love me. You obey my commands and you take care of the people that I love. And I just think that it's important for us to realize that we all have that calling. In whatever way, whatever influence we have, we're called to fulfill what God has called us to. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that in Galatians we're taught both to be quick to bear one another's burdens, but also to recognize that we are to bear our own load as well. There is a responsibility on our part to grow in our faith, to grow in our understanding of who you are, and that we would have something to offer those that have need. And Father, I pray that we would be at the same time humble, that we would be not quick to think that we have all the answers or that we're going to make it happen, Lord, or we don't direct your use of us, Lord. But help us to be open and ready, prepared to be used by you. I pray now as we go from this place, and even as we worship you now, Lord, that you would continue to speak to our hearts, that we would be slow to speak, but quick to listen to you. We would not offer excuses in our lives, but instead that we would just desire for you to show us the way. Show us, Lord, how to love you more. Show us how to love those that you love. Show us how to turn away from sin and to lean into you and be more mindful of you in our lives. Thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you that you're here with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.